you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read by the fabulous Matt Frewer.
We'll consider the 20th century as something that we had to go through, but our people will see it as something they're glad to be rid of.
And it is my pleasure to welcome back the wonderful actor Robert Picardo, the Doctor himself. Welcome back.
Thank you, Trent. Good to be here.
So in terms of this quote, you know, how does this quote resonate with you? What are your takeaways?
Well, unfortunately, we don't know the exact moment in time when Gene said this. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether it was like the debut of the original series at the height of the Cold War, or later in Gene's life. So we don't know if there was a particular event or series of events or confluence of events in that moment that made it. For example, that quote could easily have been said about the year 2020. In fact, it was said mm-hmm. about the year 2020. It was a year that was extraordinarily hard and challenging around the world, lethal to over 3 million people because of this mm-hmm. terrible pandemic. So when you hear a quote like that, it's impossible not to relate it to the experience that we are all presently just beginning to come through. Mm-hmm. And it's why you have to examine, in this particular case, the controversy that's raging is what was the source of the COVID-19 virus, because we must know that so that we don't have a COVID-23 and a COVID-34, and we don't keep going mm-hmm. through this over and over again with potentially greater and greater casualties. So when mankind comes through a particularly difficult moment in contemporary history, it's very easy to feel that, you know, we're burnished by the fire. Things are going to be better if you're essentially optimistic, but we've got mm-hmm. to get through this mm-hmm. and turn the page on this, because we've all suffered enough in this moment in time. And that's a very understandable feeling. So, and of course, I mean, we had two world wars in the mm-hmm. 20th century within how many years of each other? We had, sadly, more than one instance of spectacular genocide. There were just so many things that marked the 20th century as extraordinarily tragic, sad. Let's get this over with. And yet, look at the triumphs we had in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. For a man who is famous for being as optimistic as Gene Roddenberry is, this is a remarkably non-optimistic quote.
20th century was a little heavy. Like you were saying, Bob, there's so many great things that came out of that century. But also, you know, it's a century where we could have gone in a different direction earlier. We could have not had, you know, de facto housing and racism and hatred towards gay people. We didn't have the acceptance, right, till we mm-hmm. got into the 21st century. But what I see in this quote is, I think when I was a kid, I was really mad that I wasn't either born a long time ago in the medieval time period, where I would have died right away from a tooth infection, trust me, or way far in the future where we already had the tech. I feel like we're in this weird in-between time. We don't really have the tech mm-hmm. to do. We can't travel light speed, you know, go to other planets. We can't. And so right now it is a period, to me, I get this quote, it's something to go through to get to.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
we're going to be when we are ready or talking to other, you know, aliens from outer space or other things, or we're already past the fact that my skin color makes people not like me, or your sexuality, mm-hmm. Trent, or whatever yeah. it is. I yeah. think that's what I'm feeling in this quote. But again, I think every century you could say this, it'd be applicable to. You know, if you went to the century before, you'd be like, well, that's when everyone died of the Black Death or, you know, whatever. Every epoch, epic? How do you say that word properly? Epic? E-P-O-C-H? Epoch? I'm asking on air because I always say it wrong.
I'm not going to get involved.
No, I'm one of those people. I'm an avid reader with a tremendous vocabulary. And then I know what the words mean, but I mispronounce them constantly sometimes.
Yeah,
so anyway, I think every, you know, period has its ups and its downs. But I do think, Trent, what I also see in this, and I sent Trent a thing. Noah Bertolansky on Twitter had put up a thing about saying that, like, in the 90s, we didn't really talk too much on Star Trek about sexuality, per se. Mm-hmm. This was the don't ask, don't tell 90s trend. Do you see any of this quote related to that in here?
Yes. Referring to the don't ask, don't tell, you know, at the time, the heart was in the right place. They were trying to make progress, and that was the way that they thought they could do it most successfully. And now when we look in hindsight, it really wasn't very successful, and it made a lot of people feel even worse in certain regards. So, yeah, like when you're in it, you don't really take it all in sum. It's like with hindsight, when you're looking at history, that you can see the really big, you know, the most horrible things stand out the most, the world wars, the genocides. And many times in different storylines in the various Star Trek series, they make reference to, you know, when Earth was around the 20th century still having war and, you know, we were very divided. And they speak very proudly of the fact that in their present, our future, they've matured past that. They've grown beyond that. And it's easy. I can understand how a character like that would look back at ancient Earth and want to just get rid of all of that, you know, like as Robert mentioned, like you're born through the fire and it made us what we were, but it was really hell to go through. And, you know, once you get through it and you're looking at it in your rearview mirror, I can totally understand how a future character would want to just get rid of that. Don't forget, because we don't want it to repeat, but to definitely see it in our rearview mirror.
I think that's well said, Trent. Robert, you have, listen, I'm a grown-up. Trent and I talk all the time about how we're Gen X and we're grown-ups and stuff, but you have a little bit of years on me. And what do you see? Did you see things get better, let's say, from when you were 15 by the time you, you know, were 30? Did you see a difference in society and the way that we were interacting with each other?
Gosh, it's harder to get the big picture while you're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But looking back, what do I see the differences between when I, well, 15 is a good age. 14, 15 is when the original series premiered, I would have been about 14 years old. And
you were the perfect age, weren't you?
I was the perfect age. I have to tell you, I've confessed to the loyal Star Trek fan base before. I watched Lost in Space more than Star Trek because Angela Cartwright was just the right age for me. And all the women in Star Trek were beautiful, but they just seemed a little too old for me to be thinking about at 14.
Mm-hmm.
So although I've thought about them a lot since then. I mean, it's impossible. I know Star Trek is celebrated all the time for having an African-American woman in such a high place of command on the bridge. But she also had to be packaged in this incredibly short little outfit that she looked spectacular in, too. So even though we applaud how visionary and futuristic Star Trek was, there was a certain amount of old school,
well,
sexism.
Well, you had to get it on the air, didn't you?
Exactly. So you've asked me specifically of, like, going from 15
well,
to 30.
Well, just being an adult. It doesn't have to be 15 mm-hmm. to 30. But let's say your teenage years. To grown-up, whatever you would consider. And I'm still waiting to consider myself a grown-up, but you know what I'm saying. Like, grown-up-ish years.
Yeah. No, you know, well, it's the, you know, my favorite, my favorite Bob Dylan song is My Back Pages. And that lyric, he's talking about how idealistic he was when he was younger. And then the concluding couplet of the lyric is, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now, meaning that when we are full of youthful idealism, we're and the idealism makes us more uncompromising, and perhaps it so defines our lives that everything seems to be sort of black and white when you're that idealistic. And then as you get older, you realize that a successful life involves a certain amount of compromise, and you have to find a way to negotiate your idealism with the reality of the world.
Life is suffering, Robert.
I'm sorry?
I'm Buddhist. I'm like, life is suffering. That's
life
what
is
Buddhist.
Suffering.
That's
well, if you're a Catholic, life is suffering too.
Or a Buddhist or anyone.
A Buddhist, right.
No, I don't think life is suffering. But you know what I do a little bit? In the sense that it tells me moments of joy, moments of happiness, those are to be grabbed and and savored in the moment, because it could just be a millisecond, right? Because the rest is all just trying to get to where you're going or get away from where you've been. At least that's what I've seen, you know?
And when you're young, you don't really pay attention to that. You take it for granted. You know, one of my favorite quotes is like, youth is wasted on the young, because you don't realize what you have. And then when you're older and you look back and you're like, wow, I really squandered all that, you know, braveness that I had, or all that gumption that I had. You know, you just don't really appreciate it when you're not mature enough to appreciate it.
No, when I was a kid, my boobs were up by my ears. You know, I never thought they would be lower. I didn't think the body would change. But anyway, you guys, back to this quote. Yeah,
that was such a wonderful image that I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of the day.
Serious once, but I was like in my 20s and I was doing a movie and they wanted a slight nude thing. It would have been so tasteful. And I said, no. Now I actually kind of regret it, only because it would have been really,
it would have been
beautiful
documentation.
That's
of the statement you just made.
That they were up by my ears. But anyway, back to this. I actually agree with the harshness. To be 100% honest, again, as a mixed black Jewish girl, I agree with this. 20th century. Coulda, shoulda, woulda been. And like every century, so great. But instead, we Americans double down on our fear of difference, fear of everything. We really doubled down on that. And that was hard to grow up in, I'm going to say, from my black girl perspective. And so I understand this quote when it says it'll be something they're glad to be rid of. Not the century, not the fabulous going to the moon and all these amazing things we did. But that I, as a little black girl walking around New York City, seeing them making fun of Anita Hill and feeling like no one will ever listen to me. Yeah. I'm a black, no one will ever take me. That I'll be glad to get rid of. I don't want other young girls or boys, no matter what their flavor is, to have to feel invalidated because they can't see their image anywhere.
Yeah.
So things like that, I agree with the, like, I'm all bubbly except when I'm a cynic. That's my truth. I'm a cynical optimist, I think. Any last thoughts on this particular quote, Trent, Robert?
Well, anyone want to address what I said about it seeming, on the surface, seeming less optimistic than other things Gene said? Or am I just looking at it from the wrong perspective? Is it really forward-looking? And we've got to get through this moment in time, as you said earlier, I think, Trent, that we have, in order to turn the corner, we have to get through this more flawed phase of human existence.
Yeah, I will agree. Like, of the quotes that we've already discussed, which are very overwhelmingly optimistic, this does skew a little bit less optimistic, but it's also very short. And it probably is part, you know, there's probably some other things that we're missing around it. But taken as it is, it does skew a little bit. But I also think, you know, when I think about an earlier time in my life when pre-therapy, like before I learned of the or accepted the wonders of therapy, I used to have a really bad temper. I was not, you know, the lovely, shy, bubbly, nice person that you see now. I mean, I'm still working on it, trust me. But when I look back at that time, I'm not proud of it. And I'm embarrassed by some of the things that I've done. And I see that in other, like if I'll see someone else acting that way, and I'm like, I used to be that way. And that's how people saw me. And I do not like that about my past or that point in my life. So, you know, I can kind of appreciate that this quote is saying, you know, that's kind of something that I want to just, I got through it, but I'm glad to have it behind me.
I love that you mentioned therapy, because a lot of people don't understand that you can learn tools to self-soothe.
Absolutely.
And self-comfort yourself as an adult that perhaps you didn't see growing up in your household, where people maybe threw things or yes. had tantrums yep. or screamed at each other. So therapy is always a fantastic place to go for that. But I agree, Bob, that this is, it's kind of a more cynical quote, but I appreciate that because you know what? If we paint anyone, any human as just perfect, and Mr. Roddenberry always says the most upbeat, optimistic quote, that's not realistic. I think even, I'm sure even Gene, we can't speak for him, obviously, but even he had some days where he was like, this is bullshit. Maybe, I don't know. You know, just days where it was more cynical than not. And there's a bit of stoicism in this quote for sure, but nothing wrong with a little stoicism, right? To be able to look at something and say, yeah, that wasn't what it was, but not react.
And finally, there's something to be said for the fact that Matt read it with a very somber tone. Had he read it like Max Headroom, we might have had a whole different discussion.
Absolutely right.
By the way, I'm so glad you brought up Max Headroom. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm like the perfect age for that show. I loved
Max Headroom. I loved him.
I can't believe they haven't brought that character back. I mean, it's actually was so ahead of its time. Don't you guys agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. It would be retro futurism to bring it back now.
Yes, it would.
So gentle listeners out there, you have to check out video of Matt reading this quote. You can see his great facial hair, and you can see this quote on the Roddenberry social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And then after that, check out YouTube and look up Max Headroom if you don't know what we're talking about.
Please, absolutely. Please look it up and then look at the year it was made and take in how long ago that was and how forward-reaching. It was as forward-reaching in its own way, I think, as Star Trek and other shows, you know, that brought the future to us then. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, you guys. Bye!
Bye! Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote, so tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We are at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.